Hello, everyone. This is Stefan Rudolph, and filling in for Bobby Elias today for Let's Create a Better World. Bobby is out today. He's doing well. He's just been very busy and hectic this time of the year, and going to be filling in for him, talking about more about our show, about creating a better world, and working with others out there and helping each other both physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually grow in every way of life. And we have a great guest today here with us, Mr. Nathan Crane. He has a great background. He's a director and filmmaker of The Search for Sustainability. He's also chairman of the board on Panacea Hope and the creator of Self-Reliance Mastery, a president of Panacea Community, and on. Great friend of mine for the past few years. Nathan Crane is an award-winning author, inspirational speaker, conscious filmmaker, and highly sought-after publisher and promoter of personal growth, teaching books, events, and training courses, and founder of the Panacea Companies as well. Want to introduce Nathan Crane?
Hey, Stefan. Thanks for having me on the show. And, you know, I love the title of this show, Let's Create a Better World, because that's really what it's all about. And, yeah, I'm just honored to be here connecting with you and all of our wonderful listeners today.
Awesome, awesome, yeah. Bobby is normally on this show and bringing up a lot of topics pertaining to the world in itself and what we can do for the environment and helping us and our children, especially, and our grandchildren to come and creating this better world for them, healthier living. And I think it's right along your topic, exactly what you have coming out now for the Search for Sustainability. And I was going over your website. Awesome, awesome. You know, congratulations on this and launching this. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit more about this and what they should look for.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, the Search for Sustainability really is a lifelong passion and exploration of mine. You know, I began realizing that, you know, the world, as most of us can see, is really in dire straits right now. I mean, the water reserves are being depleted, and also the lakes and oceans and rivers are being polluted and filled with toxic chemicals. You know, the air is filled with chemicals. The food is filled with toxins and chemicals, and continuing to be more and more genetically modified, which is causing a lot of health issues for a lot of people. And, you know, the topsoil is being depleted because of our large agrochemical, large corporate farming practices, the monocrop large farming practices. And all of these things are affecting our lives, whether we know it or not. And a lot of people are beginning to recognize how these practices of unsustainability are not only affecting their lives, but will impact and affect their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives if we don't do something about it right now. You know, when I was a teenager, you know, I was pretty lost in life. I was definitely did not live sustainably, and yeah. I definitely was not healthy. I nearly died a number of times. I nearly killed myself a number of times, and you know, I had addiction issues, and I was homeless at times, and in and out of jail, and just really lost and confused, and trying to figure out life. You know, I didn't really have meaning or purpose in my life, and that's what happens to a lot of us. You know, where whether it shows up in the form of an addiction or an addictive behavior, it shows up in the form of a disease in the body, or it shows up in the form of continued relationships that fail, or work that we're stuck in that we absolutely hate. All of those things are directly related to, you know, how we walk on this planet and how we choose to step into our deepest passions and purposes in life so that we can live with fulfillment. And when I was about 18 years old, I had an awakening moment that it was a big epiphany. And that moment, just a few months later, led me to San Diego, California. So I packed everything up in my car, which was just a couple of bags in the back of the trunk. Drove to California, ran out of gas in Oceanside, and that's really where I started my life over. And from there, it has always been an uphill climb in terms of, you know, wanting to figure out life, wanting to have purpose and passion in life, wanting to be healthy. And so that led me down this path of intense research, intense experimentation, and a lot of experiences, both in the spiritual world in terms of learning, you know, meditation and practicing, spending a lot of time with different monks from different origins and different groups of eclectic visionaries and spiritual masters from all different backgrounds, and really wanting to know, you know, a deeper spiritual connection, as well as wanting to really take care of my health, wanting to be more vibrant. And that's the thing that I think so many people are missing right now, is that that ability to experience vibrancy and vitality. You know, you don't really know that you don't have it when you don't have it, because your life seems so normal as it is. But when you start experiencing vitality and vibrancy in your health, especially in your physical health, you then notice it tremendously, because you go, oh my God, I feel better, I have more energy, I sleep better, I want to exercise more. I mean, these things start happening, and I know this because not only has it happened to me, but I've been able to coach many, many people all over the world how to experience this higher level of vitality and health and fulfillment, and I get to recognize, it's very gratifying for me to see somebody who was not feeling nearly as good as they could, and they make some changes, and within a few weeks or a couple of months, now they're telling me how great they feel and how much energy they have, and they couldn't believe it. And, you know, I mean, these are people in their 50s and 60s and 70s in many cases, as well as some younger folks too. So, you know, that is possible for everybody to have that heightened level of vitality and vibrancy. It is possible to be healthier and to have more clarity, and you know, all of these things come when you really start understanding what you're putting in your body and what you're putting in your mind. What kind of food are you putting in your body? I mean, is it toxic food? Is it genetically modified food? Is it cooked food? Is it processed food? Does it come in a box? Is it filled with ingredients that you can't read and you don't even know the names and you can't even pronounce them? Because if it is any of those, then majority of the time, your body is not nearly going to have the health and vitality that it absolutely could. But on the other hand, are you putting living foods into your body, high vibration foods, fresh fruits, vegetables, fresh nuts and seeds, you know, food that you can grow in your own balcony or in your own backyard or in your windowsills, and eating it fresh, you know, food that is organic and not genetically modified or filled with pesticides and chemicals. You know, these kinds of foods, when you put into your body more of them, you start recognizing a huge difference. I mean, I believe the average baby that's born in America right now has something between 20 and 40 pesticide chemicals found in their umbilical cord. I mean, that's just absolutely wrong. You know, I mean, babies that have no choice of what they get to eat are coming into this world already filled with pesticides, which are chemicals. They're toxic chemicals for our
bodies. They don't even know the difference because, they're just being born, and that's the way they live and they grow. I'd like to make a quick note, Nathan, here, just to let our listeners know who are jumping on board. This is the Bobby Elias Show, Let's Create a Better World. We are speaking with Nathan Crane. I'm Stefan Rudolph here, and the topics are, of course, healthy living, healthy aging. And Nathan, you had some great points about just having that awareness of change and what's going on and the way we are fueling ourselves. And we are what we fuel ourselves with, the growing foods that we need. And just talking right now about babies especially and being born with all those chemicals in them and not knowing a difference. Growing up, being fed fast food, quick foods, frozen foods, all the chemicals in this, and we get used to that, right? For so many years, we just are saying, well, this is the way it is. And I think a great point you made is just having that awakening moment, that awareness when you say, wow, I ate good for 2 days. You know, I feel really good. And then you notice the difference in that area on your third or fourth day where you've been eating so healthy, and now there is a huge difference, right? Maybe you can talk a little bit more on the shift in that area.
Well, the shift is huge, and the beautiful thing is everybody can experience it if you know what to do, if you know what's causing you the toxins in your body to create lack of clarity in your mind, to create toxic buildup in your bloodstream and in your lymphatic system, to deplete your liver and your kidneys and your adrenals of all the wonderful vibrancy that they have to support your life. And, you know, you have to be aware of these toxic things, and then you have to know what to put into your body that's going to give you that vibrancy and that vitality. My brother, who had seen doctors and had testing done and was in and out of the hospital and, you know, for months, they couldn't find what was wrong with him. He had an issue going on in his stomach, a lot of pain, just a pretty chronic issue that would not go away. And one doctor said this, another said that, one said this, another said that. Some said, we don't know, nothing's wrong with you. And he's all the while in tremendous pain and you know, sometimes feeling very, very sick. I mean, this went on for over 6 months. So he then came to my house, and I said, look, this is what I think you need to do. You need to go on a 45-day juice fast, but not a fast, a feast. And here's the juices you need to put into your body. And so, you know, we put them on a kale spinach or kale celery, parsley, and cucumber as a main juice, and then adding various nutrients to that. So the difference between a juice fast and a juice feast is a fast is you're doing less liquids, but you're not eating anything whole. You're only doing juices, whereas a juice feast, which is my preference, is you're having as much juice, as much liquid as you can, so you never feel hungry. And to me, that's even more valuable to the body because you're eliminating toxins by not putting toxic foods and chemicals into your body, and you're also re-nourishing and replenishing your cells with the vibrant living foods in the juice form that will revitalize your body. And so these are not, if you're going to do any kind of juicing, it's not going to the store and buying juice in a bottle. It's going to your local farmer's market or your organic grocery store and buying organic, non-chemically filled produce like these greens I'm talking about, and then juicing them. And so he did 45 days, and then, you know, we also put him on herbs. He was doing different herbs. He also was experimenting with some grape juice. He was juicing some fresh grapes, and a lot of tea and a lot of water, but only liquid for 45 days. And I'll tell you what, the stuff that came out of his body during that period would shock any normal person. And, yeah, you know, that he had no idea that was stuck in there. I mean, you can imagine 30 days without putting food, physical food, in your body, and you're still passing out solid waste from your system. Imagine what, and he's a pretty healthy guy, you know. I mean, you know, the reality is some people have stuff stuck inside their colon. I mean, meat and dairy, cheeses, yogurts, these kinds of things are very sticky, and they get stuck inside. Your colon's all bunched up, kind of like a slinky, you know. So if you can imagine things trying to pass through it, a lot of times stuff gets stuck in there and stays in there and can't move out, and then it's molding and rotting, and it's attracting and generating bacteria and parasites, and then, you know, that turns into a whole host of issues that most doctors just can't point their finger on, so they'll just prescribe medication, right? And they'll give you some kind of prescription and say, you know, I'm sorry, you need to be on this for the rest of your life. Now the average American over 55, I think, is on somewhere between 5 and 10 prescription drugs. And that's just not natural. It's not, we consider it normal, but it shouldn't be because it's not natural. You know, prescription drugs are not natural. They are fabricated and created in a laboratory using chemical processes. You know, that there's no natural thing to put in our bodies at all. So again,
and they're basically an excuse, right? They're basically a reason to just say, I need to take this pill so I can feel better, to get to work, to make some money, to pay the bills. And it doesn't do anything, right? It's just a kind of a Band-Aid. Would you agree?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not a doctor and I can't give people medical advice, but what I can say from my own experience, I stopped taking all drugs, all chemicals, all ibuprofen, Advil, Tylenol, all of that stuff. I haven't had a single pill in my body for, I've lost track now, somewhere between 6 and 9 years. And I'm healthier and more vibrant now than I've ever been. And I grew up on medication. So, you know, I can tell you from experience that if you can get yourself, if you get your body into the right state of health and vibrancy. You're putting the right nutrients into your body, which are living, organic, plant-based foods. And you start eliminating the things in your body that create acidity and that are causing the disease, such as, you know, heavily cooked foods, heavily processed foods, cooked meat and dairy, pesticides and conventionally farmed foods. You start getting that kind of stuff out of your body, your whole life will change. And it's truly an incredible experience. And I've seen it in so many thousands of people's lives. It's such a blessing to see that. And so, you know, all of this has led me to this place of sustainability. You know, I was focusing on sustainability all these years and didn't even realize the deeper essence of what it truly meant. You know, I mean, I've been helping hundreds of thousands of people to reclaim their health and to get closer to the land and to have more vibrancy and vitality and get closer to their personal mission and passion and purpose on the planet. And while, you know, all the solutions in that have been very powerful for people, I recognize this full loop where I've come full circle back around now to sustainability, but not only sustainability, but regenerative sustainability, thriving as a human species here on the planet, because sustainability really encompasses every part of our life. If you think about it, you know, I like to offer everybody here a new term of sustainability, because when you say sustainability, most people think of just of the ecology. And while that's a very important piece of sustainability, it's only one piece of the whole equation. You know, we're talking about health, right? Is it sustainable to be unhealthy? Is it sustainable to continue putting processed toxic foods into your body? Is it sustainable to cultivate diseases in your body, whether you know you're doing it or not? No, those things are not sustainable. So it's not sustainable to be unhealthy. On the other hand, it is very sustainable to be healthy. It is very sustainable to be thriving in your health, to have vibrancy and vitality. You know, sustainability means being able to continue doing something indefinitely. If we're filling our bodies with toxic foods, we can only continue that so long before it kills us, right? So it's unsustainable. Exactly. And, you know, we look at sustainability, and in the Search for Sustainability documentary series that I've produced, you know, we look at all the different facets. We look at sustainability in politics. We look at sustainability in economics and finances. We look at sustainability in schools and education and families and parenting. We look at sustainability in mental health, emotional health, physical health. And then we look at sustainability in a lot of the ways that we're familiar with, like the water and the ecology, the planet and the soil. But we look at those from a perspective of the real powerful solutions that any person can take right now in their life to become more sustainable. And more sustainable meaning, you know, more in harmony with your life's purpose, more in harmony with creating health for yourself and health for the planet, and more in harmony with your family and your community. You know, these are really important aspects of life that I think many people are missing. As I was growing up, I was missing these sustainability dynamics of living in a regenerative society, living in a society that its sole intention and focus is on thriving. And the more we focus on sustainability, the more we focus on regenerative sustainability, or a new term I've coined called eco-unity, which is short for eco-lutionary agri-unity, which is a whole other level beyond regenerative sustainability, takes us to that place of thriving, then everything shifts. I mean, diseases can go away, relationships can improve, health and vitality increases, our desire to live on this planet increases because we're more in tune with our passion and our purpose, and we do all of this in a sustainable way, and then we create what you said earlier on the show, Stefan, in the beginning, a better future for our upcoming generations. You know, that's, as a father of two now, I recently had our second child, baby boy, just in September. His name is Osha, and my daughter, she's just turned 5. Her name is Luna. You know, they give me another reason now to really focus on this work, because not only do I want to see a thriving planet, for me and my wife and my friends and family and neighbors. But I want to leave the planet better than I found it, so that my children and their children and their children will have a beautiful, healthy place to live. You know,
exactly. And real quick to our listeners here, we'd like to reintroduce Nathan Crane here. We are on the Bobby Elias Show, Let's Create a Better World. This is Stefan Rudolph. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And right now, Nathan, we're talking about, the conscious awareness, our next generation. You're actually in Santa Fe, New Mexico, right? And this is going out nationwide to everyone throughout the country here and throughout the world especially. But really this shift going on in the past few years and in our life right now, what we have to start doing and start progressing toward to living a better, healthier life. And right now Nathan's discussing the conscious awareness and dealing with dis-ease in our life and natural ways to go about it. So, go on, Nathan.
Yeah, thanks, Stefan. And, the search for sustainability, the documentary series, it's the 12-episode documentary series that I traveled the country with my wife and daughter, filming and interviewing leading experts from all walks of life. And, we were really focusing on the solutions. You know, what are the things we can do differently in our lives right now, whether we live in the city, we live in the suburbs, or we live on a farm? What new, advantageous, beneficial principles and practices can we implement that are actually going to leave this planet better than we found it? You know, I mean, that's an ancient principle that all of our native tribes here in America and many ancestors from all over the world have always done, as far back as we can remember. They were, as far back as we can, research and study and find right now with our current science, they have always left the planet in a sustainable way. They've always walked on the earth in a very graceful way. They've never depleted the earth's resources to a point where, it's possible extinction for animals and plants and human beings. You know, they never took advantage of any resources. And yet, just in the last couple hundred years now, I mean, we can go back tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of years, and only in the last 200 years, not even a blink of an eye, we've gotten ourselves to a place where a recent statistic I saw was within 60 years, if we don't change the way we're growing food right now and the way we're taking care of the planet, within 60 years, there's a possibility that there's no more healthy topsoil to be able to grow food for anybody. That's
definitely
huge. 60 years. I mean, that is your child's life. Your child is going to have to deal with that. Your nieces and nephews are going to have to deal with that. And, anybody probably 20 years or between 20 and 50 listening to this will have to deal with that in this lifetime. And that's a very unpleasant thing to have to even think about. So, we know the current ways we're going in farming and growing food is not working. We know the ways we're using water is not working. We know that basically everything we do on this planet right now, from a westernized viewpoint, is depleting the resources. I mean, one of the most simple things you can do right now is, if you're able to, and probably only about 50% of the American population would be able to, but instead of peeing in a toilet, pee outside. Obviously, if you're in a city and there's sidewalks and there's nowhere you can pee outside, that's not going to work, right? I mean, you'll get arrested. But for the majority, 50% of people, people in suburbia, people, in rural environments, people on the outskirts of towns, which is close to about 50%. Now, I think it's between 50 and 60% of people are now living in cities. But that alone would literally save trillions of gallons a month in the United States. Trillions. And we're talking trillions. And you don't have to spend any extra money. We don't have to implement any new laws. We don't have to change any political legislation. We don't have to open a new business. We don't have to do anything except stop peeing in toilets and start peeing outside. And, I understand that's probably a hard concept for a lot of people to get, but I started doing that living in San Diego, and you alone will save hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water thousands and thousands of gallons over your lifetime. But, you know, even if 50% of people can do it, we're talking trillions of gallons. So, I mean, they're a very simple, real thing, but it's our limiting consciousness and our limiting beliefs and the societal structures that we're stuck in that are preventing us as a collective to see and utilize those types of simple things that we can do. Another very simple thing that you can do is start growing your own food. You know, back after World War II, and there's the Great Depression and all of that, and, you know, food security was really low. There were soup kitchens. People were in long lines, you know, waiting to get food because there was no ability to mass deliver food. And all of a sudden, you know, from the political arena, from the White House, they said, hey, everybody, we want you to start growing your own food. And within 1 year, 20 million Americans started growing their own food. You know, we were able to supply almost between 40 and 50% of the nation's food by small backyard gardeners and farmers. You know, and not only that, but the most beautiful thing is, you know, when you grow your own food, you get to experience the vibrancy of that food. You get to experience it in its most organic state without chemicals and pesticides. Because when you grow in small plots and small amounts, you don't have to deal with what these huge monoculture crops have to deal with when they grow only one thing, like they grow, you know, a row of corn for 1,000 acres, or they grow, you know, tomatoes or a vineyard for, I mean, if anybody's ever driven up and down the West Coast, the 5 freeway, you know, you see for miles and miles and miles just vineyards and orchards of all the same species of tree and all the same species. It's just grapes or orange trees or what have you. And that is not only completely toxic to the earth because of all the pesticides they have to spray on that, but it implements no biodiversity. It depletes the soil because they're taking more from the soil, more minerals and nutrients from the soil to feed these orchards and these vineyards than they're putting back into it. And now they're running out of water. And they're not running out of water because it's some mystical, you know, mishap that's happening. They're running out of water because the practices used for conventional farming do not work. They are unsustainable. You know,
exactly. We have to go back to our roots. And I'd like to let our listeners know again, just this is Stefan Rudolph talking with Nathan Crane here on the Bobby Elias Show, Let's Create a Better World. We have to go back to our roots, Nathan, right? Where I remember back in the 80s, I growing up then and seeing this, everybody is used to fast food. Everybody's used to this way of life. We get programmed to do things a certain way. And you're right. You mentioned, if you look back 200, 300 years ago, the world was, of course, a completely different area of all natural resources. And look what we've done in such a blink of an eye compared to how long the world's been around and what's going to happen in another blink or two to our world as we know it. It's going to be changing dramatically. So we have to incorporate awareness. That's the biggest thing that we're talking about, I can see today, is by having babies, having families, raising them, awareness. Because if we are just used to fast food, used to this type of environment and eating and doing what we're doing to our bodies, taking medication, prescription drugs, we think this is the way we've always done it because our parents, our grandparents did it. Well, it needs to change. It's only been 2 generations, and this world is falling apart. And especially what we've gone through, both of us, Nathan, and my experience with pharmaceutical drugs and actually being in the industry and selling them and seeing what it did to people, what it did to me, what it didn't do as far as curing the disease, this is something that we have to bring about in our children as we raise them. And awareness, and in knowing that, you know, I'm fueling myself with the wrong items, the wrong food. I'm not feeling well. Why is this? You know, what's going on in me? And awareness of our environment around us. So yeah, these are great topics to our listeners of the Bobby Elias Show. Let's Create a Better World. It's Nathan Crane, and maybe we can discuss more too about related to your new launch here, the Search for Sustainability. Tell us a little bit more about that and the website and the information, too.
Well, you made a good point, Stefan. You know, the reality is, you know, we're experiencing some very challenging times right now as a collective, both here in the U.S. and many countries abroad. And it is because of all of these systems, our education, our political, our financial, our, you know, the economic system, the healthcare system, the agricultural system, they're simply unsustainable. And it's not that, you know, individually we're removed from all that, because we're directly connected with it. And individually is the only way that you can take back power and control of these systems in a way that's going to help you and your family, your community, and the world to thrive. And that's exactly what we focus on in the Search for Sustainability documentary series. That website, if you ask, is since you asked, Stefan, it's thesearchforsustainability.com. It's a free documentary series where we explore solutions to all of these major challenges, to our community challenges, to our water challenges, to our food challenges. And it's very solution-oriented. It's also about, you know, we need to understand more of what's going on and why it's going on, but it's really geared towards what can we do about it. You know, I'm a very practical guy. I'm a very solution-oriented guy. It's like, give me a challenge or a problem, and I'll find a way to transcend it and transform it. It's just who I am, and that's what I do. And that has a lot to do with sustainable thinking, which we talk about in the documentary series, because it is unsustainable to have negative thinking. That can only last so long before you start getting the exact same result over and over and over again. So sustainable thinking includes, you know, looking at the world through the lens of solution-oriented mindset. And solution-oriented mindset is saying, you know, it doesn't matter what challenges I'm faced with, my family's faced with, the world's faced with, there's always a solution. And it doesn't matter how meek and dark it is. You know, right now, the challenge for me and all of us is that we're stuck in these societal systems in a way that are convenient and comfortable for us. And I'm in it. I'm in the middle of it. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah. I drive a car. I use gasoline. You know, I'm going in and out of town. But now, you know, I can't help but start doing things differently. I started growing my own food. I'm beginning to set up rainwater collection systems. I'm using permaculture to design, you know, our backyard in a way that will be not only sustainable but regenerative for the planet, so it actually helps build the soil, helps build topsoil. You know, I only go into town now about once a week. You know, there's no need for me to drive to town if I don't have to. And, you know, a lot of different things like that. I mean, I don't pee in the toilet anymore, you know, unless I absolutely have to and I don't have another choice. You know, I pee outside. I mean, there are a lot of things we can do. I only buy organic, or at least 99%. You know, we shop at the co-op and the local organic or the local farmers market, supporting local farmers, you know, getting involved in local events, getting involved with local associations. You know, there are a lot of things we can do, and we cover all these things so much more in the documentary series. It starts November 1st. Again, it's a free series, November 1st through November 12th. It's the searchforsustainability.com. And again,
you know what's a good point too, Nathan, is they, along the same topics are plastics. And every time we go to fast food or eat out, I just look at it now. I'm amazed by what I was doing 3 years ago and how much crap we go through when it comes to throwing cups away, throwing straws away, all the use that we go through. If you're eating three meals a day and you're eating out like that, and that's one person times billions of people, and there's billions and billions of straws used every day, just little things like that that are just depleting our ozone layers, our environment, and more in that area too as well, right?
Well, they seem little, yeah, but they're so huge, because if you're talking millions of plastic straws and cups and lids and bowls and plates are thrown away, you know, every day, those either end up in the landfill, and those that don't end up in the landfill end up in the ocean. And, you know, plastic takes hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years, for the Earth to be able to break it down. And we're talking millions, now we're talking trillions and trillions of plastic straws and plates and all that stuff. So while it's convenient and it's comfortable to have all of these throwaway utensils and whatnot, the reality is it is leaving the planet worse for your children and your grandchildren than how you found it. And so, you know, that's the way we need to start looking at it, is all those little things we can do that actually as a collective, make a huge difference. You know, if I go out to eat, I don't eat fast food, but if we go out to a restaurant, for example, and we're ordering something to go, you know, or when we travel everywhere with reusable napkins, like cloths, you know, so we don't get napkins. They have to cut down trees to make napkins, right? There's no point when you can just use a cotton cloth and you can wash it when you're done with it. We travel with a bamboo utensil set, and we have them in all of our vehicles, or in our two cars, and in our home, and everywhere we go, we take bamboo utensils, so we're not using plastic forks, we're not using plastic, you know, there's this bamboo utensil set, you can buy it once, and you can reuse it a million times, and it's got a knife, a fork, and a spoon, and even it's got chopsticks in it, so if you like, you know, Asian food, yeah, or you want to eat with chopsticks, it's got chopsticks in it. And we take that everywhere we go. So, again, those are little things that everybody can do that makes a huge difference. The reality is, yes, we need to do those. Yes, we need to stop throwing away everything and start reusing everything that we possibly can. And even if everybody in the plant does that, we're not going to solve the issues right now if that's all we do. Because one of the biggest issues, the biggest greenhouse gas issue, it's over 50%. Attributed to the greenhouse gases, to global warming, to climate change, that nobody's talking about, or very few people are talking about, more and more people are starting to wake up to this reality, is that over 50% of the contributing gases to global warming and climate change is animal agriculture, raising cattle for people to eat is the biggest contributing factor. You know, they're cutting down pristine, multi-thousand-year-old rainforests for cattle to graze. They're killing thousands of species of insects and animals just so cattle can be grazed. They're depleting the earth of its natural resources, water, and plant life, just so cattle can be grazed. You know, you cannot, Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who's in our Search for Sustainability documentary series, he said something, a little bit harsh, but very true. And it's very important that we start looking at these truths from a very simple perspective. And, you know, you can, what he says is, you cannot even talk about sustainability or think that you're living sustainably or consider yourself an environmentalist if you're not a vegan. He said, you're just kidding yourself. You're joking to yourself, you know, because what it takes to get 1 pound of beef to your plate, one hamburger in your mouth, is so unsustainable. The amount of water it takes, the amount of oil it takes, the amount of energy and resources it takes, the amount of forests that have to be cut down for that cattle to graze. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. So,
yeah, that's on that documentary, Cowspiracy, as well, right? I just saw Cowspiracy on Netflix, and that was a great documentary for our listeners to check out, Cowspiracy. Did you see that one?
It's a great film. Oh, it's an amazing film. That was... And that's one of the rare films out there that addresses that issue, you know, the issue that, anybody who's done any research can find out that you absolutely do not need meat in your diet at all. Nobody needs it, and it doesn't matter what anybody tells you. The reality is, if you have a good, diverse, plant-based diet, and diverse is the key here, you know, you can't just live on nuts and seeds, you know, like some people do when they go vegan. And also, you can be vegan and very unhealthy because, you know, these large corporations make packaged, processed, genetically modified foods that are also vegan. You know, vegan means no animal products. Now, I'm not fully vegan, and I'll tell you why. Because I believe that honey and bee pollen are incredibly important for the body, as do many researchers and scientists and health experts that I've also spent time interviewing and questioning, and my body loves it. Now, you know, some people go vegan and don't have bee products because of the commercial bee industry, and I understand that. But I don't buy that honey. I buy honey from local organic bee farmers who take care of their bees. And I'm starting raising bees here in the spring. We'll start raising bees here at our house in Santa Fe as well. So, you know, no, when I talk about no animal products or vegan, what I'm talking about is a plant-based diet. You know, that you're not eating meat, chicken, fish, beef, pork. You're not eating dairy. Dairy is incredibly toxic for the body, mostly because when it's processed and when it's cooked, when it's homogenized and pasteurized, it basically just becomes dead pus for your
and
body.
And, you know, it's very addictive, too. All these topics that you're mentioning, Nathan, are very addictive, where people get used to hamburgers. They get used to dairy. My mom is like this great lady. I love her to death. But cheese and dairy products that she was raised on, it's very hard to break those, correct, right? It's just people
addicting. It is addicting, and there's actually neurological reasons for that because of the whey protein and the casein that's in dairy, and then also, you know, certain chemicals, natural chemicals that are inside meat actually become addicting for the brain. But, you know, the way that you know if you're a carnivore, omnivore, or an herbivore is very easy. I have two dogs. They're puppies. They're about 6 months old. And I will pull out from the fridge raw chicken legs, right? Totally raw, uncooked, bone and everything. And I'll give them each a full chicken leg, raw, uncooked, bone and all. And within 30 seconds to a minute, they eat the whole thing, swallow it, and they're the happiest dogs in the world. You know, they're omnivores, meaning they have part carnivorous diet, part herbivore diet. You know, omnivores, in my understanding, you know, they need 70 to 80% raw meat diet and 20 to 30% plant diet. You know, and they love it. They love raw meat. They love the smell of it. I mean, they'll find a carcass on the side of the road that's been rotting for 4 days, and they're drooling and salivating. They'll eat it raw. Now take a carcass or a raw chicken or raw beef in your hand, smell it, and try eating it. If you have any carnivorous part in your design at all, you will start salivating over it, and you'll eat it, and you'll love it, and you'll feel so amazing, like the dogs do, right? But humans don't have that. We don't have that desire to want to eat raw, bloody meat. There might be one or two people in the world that have that, and maybe they're the only carnivores in the world that are humans. I don't know, but I've never met a single person in my life that can hold raw meat in their hands, start eating it, and love it. I mean, absolutely love it, eat the bone and everything. Our bodies are just not designed for that. Now, the difference is somebody could see a piece of steak at the grocery store, and they will start salivating, but they won't eat it raw. And the only reason they salivate is because their mind, their brain has already made a pattern in the neurology of the brain.
It's already barbecued in the brain.
Yeah, in the brain it's already barbecued. They can smell it, they can taste it. It's salted, it's herbed, it's peppered. It's got barbecue sauce on it. And now when you do all of that to it, then it tastes great, right? Because you're covering up the true flavors of it by cooking it, salting it, basting it, all these things that people do with meat. And I mean, I'm not against anybody who eats meat. I grew up on meat. I mean, I grew up in Montana, you know, meat, potatoes diet. So I get it. I totally get it. But now, you know, it's like when you learn something, you can't help but want to share it with people to awaken them to a higher level of health. And so, no, you don't need meat at all. You can get protein from plant-based diet in higher quantities, better amounts, and more digestible, and more assimilatable than meat products. And that's just a fact. I mean, you know, I don't have time to go into all the science of that right now. If you research that, it's an absolute fact. And actually now what we're looking at is that majority of people actually have not protein deficiency, but they have protein excess in their body, which is causing some of the diseases. They have too much protein in their body. A lot of times that's people who have a meat-based diet. So, you know, enough on that other than it is not sustainable. Again, we're going back to sustainability. It is absolutely not sustainable to eat a meat diet. It depletes the planet of its resources. It uses so much oil, so much water,
There's no win in that situation.
Cutting down forests.
That's the goal.
And then
the goal here.
Yeah, and then it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for your body either because it's going to cause disease in the body eventually, And we know that that's not sustainable either.
And to our listeners here, this is the Bobby Elias Show, Let's Create a Better World, speaking with Nathan Crane and on his project coming up here in the Search for Sustainability, launching here in November. And this is Stefan Rudolph. We're speaking about this sustainability, but also what, you know, just eating a right, the correct diet, what it does for us, everything that we're fueling our system with. And Nathan and I have gone down the same route growing up and the obstacles we've been through in life and, you know, just shifting our life through the power of awareness and the attitude of gratitude and share many similar common characteristics. He's out of Santa Fe, New Mexico. This is going out to all the U.S., just letting you know that there is a better world out there for you, and that's what Bobby does every week here on this show, creating a better world for all of our listeners. To be more aware of how you're fueling your body, what you're eating, who you're surrounding yourself with, and what we can do to make this world a better planet. And, yeah, Nathan, if you want to wrap up for a few minutes about your projects and everything we're talking about here, go ahead.
Well, I just love to kind of, as we wind down here, some closing thoughts for folks is, you know, if we want to leave a legacy for future generations, if we want to live on a planet that is vibrant and vital and healthy, and if we want to enjoy this beautiful planet that we've been able to enjoy for the next few decades, the next few generations, the next few eons, thousands of years, we absolutely have to look at changing the way we live on the planet. And change can be scary in a lot of ways. But when we do this kind of change, there's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing more fulfilling than going out to your backyard or to a community farm and digging a hole and planting a fruit tree, knowing that that fruit tree will be there for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years and provide thousands and thousands of pieces of nutritious fruit for you and your family and your neighbors. You know, there's nothing more rewarding than spending time in nature and planting plants that will help to nourish your body and your soul and your family and your community, and knowing that you have some sense of self-sufficiency and some sense of self-reliance. There's nothing better than knowing that you have your own food security. I mean, right now we live in a world where we depend on next day delivery for food, which means that grocery stores only have enough food for about 3 days. So in disaster scenarios, which happen all the time, all over the world, including here in the United States, you know, if a disaster scenario leaves people without electricity or access for food to come in, within 3 days, people are out of food. You know, I mean, that means by, you know, 5 days, 6 days, people are starving. I mean, that is not sustainable, and it's not being free, because we're dependent on everybody else to provide our food and our water and our basic security. You know, I believe every single person in this world and in this nation should be able to have their own piece of land to call their own, to raise their family, to grow their food. The changes it would make in society, the changes it would make in the planet, the changes it would make in your own life are just astronomical. I mean, it would help the economy. It would help the local environment. It would help save resources. It would help give you a sense of freedom and a sense of true vitality. And so, you know, growing your own food, getting involved in your community, supporting your co-ops and your CSAs and your farmers markets, eating healthier, and so many other things you can do, this is what I encourage every single person to consider so that we may leave this planet better than we found it. And if you are interested in any of that, then definitely watch the Search for Sustainability. It's a free documentary series. It's 12 episodes, 12 nights long, one episode each night for 12 nights. It's at thesearchforsustainability.com, and you can register free. And, you know, we explore all these different facets of sustainability. So I encourage you to watch that, share it, get your family and friends involved, so that together we can actually leave this planet in a good way, in a way that is going to create a sustainable future for our children and our grandchildren.
Exactly. So that's awesome. And to our listeners, again, Nathan Crane here on Let's Create a Better World, the Bobby Elias Show. This is Stefan Rudolph. And we have this great speaker, author, friend of mine, Nathan, and just telling our listeners what he's gone through, he's doing now for the system in our system and the people throughout the nation to live better, feel better, act better, and live as one too. I know some of our discussion entailed a lot of it was just the way we eat, the way we fuel ourselves, and how we're only thinking really just presently. I need some fast food. I need to do this. And look at our health system and just how we feel and what we're doing as a society. It's not working. It's definitely not working because we need to wake up America and start understanding that we are what we fuel ourselves with and we are who we surround ourselves with. So surrounding ourselves with better people like Nathan Crane here and all of his followers too on his books. You can also visit him on nathancrane.com for more information. And what's the best contact information for you, Nathan?
That's going to be the best place, nathancrane.com, or find me on Facebook. I haven't spent a lot of time on Facebook, but I'm starting to post a little bit more, especially about some of the events and teachings and things like that from the documentary series. So Facebook, just search Nathan Crane. You should be able to find me, or nathancrane.com. And Stefan, I just want to say, hey, thank you, brother. I mean, I appreciate all that you're doing. You're a good friend of mine. I know that the path that you've been on has been inspiring many people. I know that when we first met, you were on a path of health, and I shared some of my books and resources with you, and you kind of went to a whole new level. And, I'm excited for you that you're hosting this show and helping so many people, and just appreciate you and all that you do. So thank you, and thank you for Bobby for having the show, and also thank you for all of our listeners who are tuning in and participating and wanting to create a better world.
Great, Nathan. Appreciate it, and you have a great rest of the week.
You too. Be well.
Take care. And, to our listeners out here, that was Nathan Crane, and this is the Bobby Elias Show, Let's Create a Better World. Our topics, of course, include health, wellness, just living a better life overall. My area that I came back from was epilepsy, was alcohol, and personally in that venture, I've been 3 years sober now and lost 50 pounds in the best shape of my life. People see me at 44 years old thinking I'm 34, I guess, which is a compliment, but surrounding myself with people like Nathan and Bobby and everyone else on the show and raw foods world, health and fitness, everything, just do what you can to become a better person, and that starts out by being more aware of what you're eating, who you're surrounding yourself with. My book is called Barstool Knowledge. It talks about the psychology of addiction and what we go through growing up, especially for teenagers and young adults, 15 to 25, and just creating a better world for them and helping them become a leader, not a follower in life. A lot of us, when we're younger, we are following others and going down the wrong path. You want to be more of creating them to be a leader and knowing them, letting them know that they are powerful in what they do and the decisions they make and not to be influenced by other people. And I look forward to working with Bobby more coming up in the future. He has some great shows here, and especially one, too, we're going to have another future guest coming on, Living with Heart. Some of the authors that we have on there are great people, and Living with Heart, you can find on Facebook. It's a book coming out with 16 different authors that are focused on positive growth and healthy living, as we discussed here on the show. And Shamaya Shakur and her friends are going to be speaking too and helping us discuss patterns of health and wellness and living better lives. So we definitely have a lot more great shows to come up. And the last topic I'd like to bring up is, as I mentioned, I did have epilepsy at one time, and I was on many different pharmaceutical drugs, and even actually worked for a major pharmaceutical company back in 2000 to 2002, selling some of the drugs that at that time I believed in. I believed in selling Effexor and antidepressants and acid reflux medication, everything that does help to a certain extent. But when people are prescribed this and given it for life, and they can't get off of it because they feel they're going to get depressed again, they can't basically live without it. thinking that this is what they have to do. Because this is what I saw in doctors. They were giving these prescriptions, not saying take this for 3 months or 6 months or a year. It was pretty much just take this every day, once a day, and come back in a few months. It goes on and on. And our society and what we do, we get addicted to these things. And all of a sudden, you see the baby boomers and those in their 70s and 80s now retiring, and they're on 5, 10-plus medications because they have to be. So we need to be more aware of what we can do to have a more holistic approach to healing our diseases in life. When your body is not at ease, when your mind is not at ease, you need to be able to correct that yourself and do what you can to eat better, to live better, to change your life. Maybe your job is too stressful. Do all that you can to live healthier and be healthier. And that's a lot about what my book is based on, is just being creating conscious awareness in yourself at a young age, or no matter what your age, realistically, if you're 50 right now and you feel like everything is going downhill, be aware of what you're eating, of who you're surrounding yourself with, what your job is like, what your life is like, what you're doing day in and day out. You have to make that shift. And that's a great point that Nathan made about health and wellness and the search for sustainability. He had some awesome points about the food we eat, genetically modified food, and food we're feeding our children. We just have to have more awareness. So I appreciate all the listeners out there who come on board every week. I hope this was a benefit to you. And you can check our show out online as well at prn.fm.com. The Gary Knoll Show is the Progressive Radio Network, so prn.fm.com. And you'll see our shows under Bobby Elias, Let's Create a Better World. And my name is Stefan Rudolph. Any questions, you can contact me directly. I don't mind the calls. If you have questions regarding health and wellness, 760-215-2337. And StefanRudolph.com, Stefan. RUDOLPH.com, here to help you, and we look forward to having you on next week when Bobby's back. I'm sure Bobby's doing well out there, and he'll be back next week with us here on Let's Create a Better World. Take care, everybody.